Happiness replaces fear. Come on, someone. I said peace replaces confusion. Thank you right now, Holy Ghost. Thank you now, Holy Ghost. We are ready. We are ready. We're ready for the next chapter, God. As you said on last week, you don't have to write a new chapter. We're ready for you to release the new chapter. Come on, this is the release. And God, we're ready. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Come on, clap your hands, give God a praise. Amen. Come on, tell your neighbor, it is, it was, and it always will be. I'm talking about your life as a blessed man and woman of God. Your future. It was blessed, it is blessed, and it's always going to be blessed. There's no devil in hell that could change what God gave for your life. Come on, someone. There's nothing in this world, no one in this world that could change how much God is madly in love with you. And you just believe God for the incredible. God is going to do the impossible. Some of you are facing a hard situation now in your life, but there's nothing too hard from God. Matter of fact, my God specializes in impossible situations. When you've given up, God said, it's time for me to step up. Yes, and so we believe God today that he has a word for you. We thank God for those that are here. We thank God for those that are under this time of anointing. And so we want you to feel blessed in the house of God today. How many of you feel blessed in the house of God? Come on, how many of you feel encouraged in the house of God? This is what happens when God's house becomes a house of prayer. This is what happens when God's house is what he said it should be, a place where his presence, not visits, but lives. So I want you to feel free. I want you to feel not like in your natural, but just all over your life that God has really done something great for you. And regardless of what it's been like, it is an incredible year. It is going to be an incredible year. It's been an incredible, incredible 21 days. Seemed like yesterday we was counting down, and now we're 21 days in. And I want to let you know that 2017 has ended. We're in 18. 7, the number of completion. God finished something and you're getting ready to step in something totally new. And so if you're ready to step into something totally new, I want you to turn your Bibles with me as we're ready to go in now. Amen. Do we do welcome? And sometimes I forget our viewers that are live streaming now and those that are watching here in the States and those that are watching across the seas and the oceans and nations. We thank God for you that whatever time it is, naturally, it's your time spiritually. How many believe that? Whatever time it is naturally, it don't matter because it's all of our time spiritually, and God is going to do some great things. For a few minutes, I want to talk with you from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. Come on, let's give it up for our minstrels today because God used them in a whole new realm. Come on, stand up and give them some recognition. Give them, come on, they worked hard today. Yeah, I know their fingers hurt. I know their feet hurt. But they didn't stop because they recognized what God required. And so, brothers, I'm going to need a little bit more of you. Just, you know, just relax now. I'm going to need some more. Reverend Johnson, I'm going to need some more of you, man. Brother Dorian, I know, man, your towel is now a washcloth that looked like it's been in the shower, but that's all right. I need a little bit more from you. Amen. Praise God. God wants to bless. MT, get ready. We're going to make them earphones pop off, man, in a few minutes. MD, you've been standing, sitting, and doing all. And so we thank God that God has given us men that love God. Brother Lamonte, good to see you today, man. Let's give it to Brother Lamonte. Amen. Yeah, we prayed over that guitar, so I know why it was sounding good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You guys didn't know that, did you? That's good. Good stuff. Amen. Man, stand up, Lamonte. I prophesy a new year for you. A talented man, but God is going to use those talents now, not just in the area of musician, but he's going to turn you into an awesome man of God. Yeah. Not only are you going to be a great man of God, but you're going to be the one that's going to be able to declare the words of the Lord to this generation. And you're going to speak words of truth. You're going to speak words that resonate in the mind of people. It is not going to be something fictitious. It's not going to be something that is way out there. God is going to give you the word that's going to reach a generation right where they are. Many people try, but God is giving you the grace to go in and do it. And so God said, don't be strange at the gifts and the talents I've given you to pick up any piece of equipment and learn it just like that. That's how you're going to be with the word of God, he says. I'm going to put things in you, and you're not going to deny it, and you're not going to be confused about it. You're going to speak it because it's inside of your heart. I can use you because I can place you in different realms, and you are going to excel and exceed beyond expectation. That is what God is going to do in 2018. Wherever I place you, you're going to perform excellent. You're going to exceed expectation. And not only that, the ultimate thing is God said you're going to reach people for him. You receive that, man? God bless you. Good to see you this morning. Come on, give God a praise offering for this young man. I love that young man because I remember when he was knee high to a bullfrog. And he jumped from the drum to the bass. He jumped from every, and he would master each one he got his hands on. You don't just do that without the Spirit of God. Now I see him pick up the guitar, which is a total different instrument that sounds different, and he picks that and he plays that fluidly. How many of you know that that's the power of God? Sister Charisse, that's the generation I was talking about on last week. That's the generation they're talking about. I want to do with the millennials? I want everything to do with the millennials. Because you could teach me things that I don't know. You have a grace to go do it when we're just talking about it. So that's what God is trying to do in the year 2018. Something, someone shout new, next, and now. Proverbs chapter number 29. You guys ready? I tease you. I've been ready. Where y'all been at? Proverbs 29:18. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. How many of you are happy today? See, when you're happy, it's because you live in the word of God. But here's what the Bible says here. Where there is no vision, the word vision there simply means revelation. Where there's no revelation, people perish. But I love how the English Standard Version says this. It says, watch this, where there is no prophetic vision. Oh, man, you still with me this morning? It says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. And so you look at the word vision. The word vision requires preparation and dedication. Vision is prophetic insight into your next dimension of God. So the English Standard Version says where there is no prophetic vision. Now, see, how many have a vision for your life? It doesn't necessarily mean it's prophetic, because something prophetic is something God put there. Oh, come on, someone. It's something that God wants to release in you for the world. And so vision requires you to be not only dedicated, but you got to be prepared for it. And when God gives you a prophetic vision, he is now trying to introduce you to something new now. That's of him. How many received that so far? And this is what's called strategy. Say with me, strategy. See, I'm going to take you down the road of spiritual strategy, because I told you on last week that what I'm talking about is called the N3 factor, and it's what it's titled is the next chapter of your life. And it began with four areas that God is going to use you in greatly. And the first one was chemistry. Shout with me, chemistry. We all need chemistry in this life. We all need to be able to hook up and link up with the right people that's going to, you know, not cause us to abort our vision, but to go forward in our vision. And so the next thing he requires of us is strategy. So shout with me, strategy. But then once God gives you strategy, he says, I want to give you now the ability to accomplish the strategy. And once you have ability, he said, you're going to have a good memory in 2018. You're going to remember those that blessed you. You're going to remember those that opened doors for you. You're going to remember those that paved the way for you. We're going to spend a time of honoring the generals that went and they did things that we don't have to do right now. And so strategy, this is strategy. What is strategy is a plan of action that gives direction to a targeted goal. How many of you know that you need a strategy in this life? And I want to share this with you here, because strategy actually requires hearing from God. I'm talking about spiritual strategy. I'm not talking about, see, when I speak of the word prophetic vision, I'm saying that God has downloaded some things in our hearts and in our spirits, things that we didn't come up with ourselves. And so without prophetic vision, without strategic prophetic vision, we perish. God is prophetic. The prophecy is what God releases in us so that we can know what he's saying right now. And so strategy requires hearing from God. And hearing from God requires, shall with me, faith. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by what? So now, if strategy requires you to hear from God, then that means hearing from God requires faith. When you get faith and you're hearing from God, that means that you are connected to heaven. Shout with me, I'm connected to heaven. Now, I know you might be tired. We've praised a lot, but I need you to help me along the way here so we can get to God's destination that we need to be at in a few minutes. Is that all right, saints? Okay, so what you're going to see happen in 2018 is that God is requiring strategy to hear from him, and he's saying here, faith, you need faith. So faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith is going to connect you to heaven. All right? And so what you're going to see happening in 2018 is that heaven is going to expand itself and release more. Why? Because it's going to expand because you're speaking heaven's language. Come on, someone. So in order, how many know, in order to really connect with something, you got to learn how to speak the language. You want to connect with someone on the street, you got to learn to speak the language. If you really want to connect with someone in another country, you'll learn how to speak their language. I mean, you can get by, but just they're speaking theirs and you speak yours and get a translator in the middle. But it's nothing like being able to speak their language one on one. And so you have to learn, and we have to learn in 2018 how to speak the language of heaven. And so hear what the Lord began to tell me, that in order to connect to something, you got to speak his language. So in the language of heaven, God said in 2018, it's going to be a critical year of speaking in tongues. Mm-hmm. Some might feel like, well, I don't need to. Okay, you can still go to heaven without speaking tongues, but I still want to know some mysteries. I still want to be able to dial into a place where Satan cannot interrupt or intercept what God is trying to say to me. So God was showing me that in this year, 2018, a big component of our success and the mysteries being released is learning how now to speak in tongues, not just every time church is open, but even on your job, learning how to speak in tongues, even in your shower or driving in your car, learning how to download or get mysteries downloaded from God through tongues. Amen? Because how many realize that there are still mysteries to be released in the earth? And when you start speaking in tongues, you do a couple of things here. Go with me to Jude chapter 1 and verse number 20. I'm moving quickly to my destination today, so I want you to be in tune real quickly here, all right? Jude verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. So you build your faith so that your connection stays clear. How many love a good 5G connection? You get a little upset when that bar goes down to one bar. It simply means that you don't have the connection that's as great as a connection that has all the bars all the way over. And so how do I maintain and thrive as a Christian? I built myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to hear from God in 2018. I heard in 2017, but tell your neighbor, God is not finished speaking. Come on, tell them like they're awake. Tell them God is not finished speaking. And so in order to really connect with heaven, I got to speak heaven's language more in 2018. That means I got to, if you don't know how to speak in tongues, we'll lay hands on you. If you receive it, you can speak in tongues right now. It's not for man. It's for you. It's for you to be edified. It's for God to speak something to you that no one else can intercept. But what it does, it builds up your faith. When God begins to download things in you and now your faith grows, God said, I can now put some mysteries on you. And so in the book of Deuteronomy 29:29, go there with me real quick here. Oh, man, this is good. Watch this here, because this is what the Lord began to show me. He says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And so the Lord was dealing with me, and he was showing me God is getting ready to release some secret things in 2018. Tell your neighbor, God is going to release some secret things in 2018. He says, so when he releases secret things, it's simply saying that I'm going to reveal more to my church, because the Bible says the secret things, they belong to the Lord our God. So he chooses to release them when and soever he will. And I believe that God is going to release those secret things more to those who have been built up in the faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then it says about that, it says, but those things which are revealed, so when God reveals it, he said, it's not just to you, but it's the millennials too. I'm talking to your children. It's to your next generation. And it's not just for you to have. It's so that you may do all the words of the law. You cannot obey the Bible without being filled with the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit to keep you and show you right from wrong. And so God says in 2018, it's not only a new chapter, but it's a year of new language. New conversations. In bad conversations, God says, start speaking in tongues. You're going to know if a person really wants you around if you start speaking in tongues. Stop talking about your souls and change your conversation and speak well about your souls. Speak in tongues. I'm talking about strategy. Tell your neighbor, this is strategy. And so God said, your 2018 strategy, you must now conversate new and you must learn to change how you respond. Adapt a different approach. Practice different measures. Shift your demeanor. When you are in conversation and the conversation is not good, I guarantee that if you start speaking in tongues, they're going to either shut up or change talking. Yeah, I said that. They're going to either stop talking, they're going to shut their mouths, or they're going to start speaking well. I refuse to allow negative garbage to be in my ear portals because that gives me something different than what God is really saying. Come on, someone. Trying to back my way into this easy today because I got a bomb to drop on you. But tell your neighbor, get a plan for a strategy for your life. Come on, tell them, get a plan or a strategy for your life. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Get a plan or a strategy for your life. Stop just living. Stop just existing. Stop just maintaining. Get a plan. Get a strategy. Get a prophetic vision. Get a revelation about who you are. Get something inside of you that Jesus put there that no matter what comes your way, I'm not going to give up on what God said. It doesn't look like I can accomplish it, but God put it down on the inside of me. This thing was prophetic. This wasn't carnal. This wasn't man. This was prophetic that God said what you were going to do. Why are you telling your neighbor to get a plan or vision for your life? See, sometimes you feel bad or you feel inferior because you got structure in your life. Because you got a plan for your life. Because others live on the seat, on the edge of their seat. Because others live that's just barely, you know, I love the life. I don't love to live like that. God has given us a strategy for our life. God has given us a plan to take the region. God has given us a plan to take the, God has given us a plan to see things restored. And so I don't mind being called weird. I don't mind being called someone that is all that, because I'm not all that. I am nothing without Jesus. So you might be called different. You might be called weird. You might be called stuck up. You might be called phony. You might be called selfish. You might be called never. But I tell you one thing right now. When God gets done with you, they're not going to call you phony, selfish today. They're going to call you boss. They're going to call you manager. They're going to call you owner. They're going to call you your honor. They're going to call you apostle. They're going to call you prophet. They're going to call you evangelist. They're going to call you pastor. And they're going to call you teacher. Yeah. By the time I get done with you today, they're going to say, yes, your honor. Yeah, it was you they called phony before. It was you they called selfish before. It was you they called weird, different before. No, now they're going to call you by what God already seen you before they talked about you. They're going to call because you got a strategy for your life. That's why I told you, tell your neighbor, I got a strategy. You called me one thing, but God has called me something else. God has called me his precious anointed. God has called me his, I feel the spirit of God today. God has called me as his own. God has called me a friend. God has called me not a bastard. God has called me a son. God has called me a daughter. God has got into an intimate relationship with me. So you might call me one thing, but one day you're going to call me by who I am. You don't have to call me apostle. You call me by my first name, but one day you're going to need the apostle to step up. Come on, someone. One day you're going to say, my pastor. Well, you didn't call me pastor before, But now that you need me, you're going to call me by who God says I am. I'm going to tell you right now, they might not call you who God says you are now, but when they need you, they're going to call you by your name. They're going to say, prophet so-and-so, I need a word from the Lord. Evangelist or prayer warrior, I need a prayer to get through unto heaven. Before you were just little old Joe or anybody, but now you are somebody, and they recognize the somebody in you. How did that happen? Because you got a strategy. You got a plan for my life. Do you have a plan for your life? How many got a plan for your life? Well, you know what Jeremiah 21, 29, 11 talks about, right? You know how the plans I have for you, said the Lord. How you, Mel, you read that scripture all the time, but I'm tired of just reading it. God, I'm ready to live the plan out. And so I want to look at some spiritual strategy today. And I'm going to look at one way that's going to connect with someone. Again, I said again, it's for someone, not everyone. I'm in the mode of this month here preaching to someone, not everyone. But there is someone that needs what I have to say today. There's someone that's hanging on the word that's getting ready to come out of my mouth. That someone here today know that they need a strategy. And something I'm going to speak about strategy today is going to ignite and connect a fire inside of you. It's going to be a prophetic vision that God gives you. It's a revelation that has been there, that all you needed was someone to come in and get inside you and wake up what God deposited in you. And so I want to wake up today. Amen. Wow. Strategy. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I'm almost finished. Oh, God. Somebody just laugh real quick. You know, we the spirit of laughter is here this year. The spirit of laughter is here this year. I'm laughing because I know what I have for you. I'm like that good cook because I know this meal is good. I know what's getting ready to happen for someone. Maybe not everyone, but someone is getting ready to connect with a strategy that's getting ready to change your life. Amen. Come on. There is something God is getting ready to do. 1 Samuel 19. Watch this. I'm going to read a couple verses. I'm looking at verses 1 through 5, then 11 through 13. It says, and Saul spake to Jonathan. Remember, without a prophetic vision, people perish. Without a strategy, bad things happen. All right. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning and abide in a secret place and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee. And what I see, that will I tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul, his father. And he said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee ward very good. Verse 5, and for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Will you slay David without a cause? And so I want to start talking about strategy for a few minutes here and share with you one important word as I move in. My first point is never proceed into something without a cause. Let me talk to you again. I said never proceed into something without a cause. If you go into something without a cause, it could cost death, time, and confusion. Well, why is this happening? Because you weren't called to do it. Why is this going wrong? Because it wasn't a cause that you should have been a part of. Why did so-and-so die? Because it never should have been there. It wasn't their fight. David never proceeded in war without a cause. Hello, someone. You need a cause for everything that you have in life. You really can't have a strategy without a cause. Why am I on this fight? Why am I on this journey? Why am I doing what I'm doing? See, a cause will develop or have you develop a plan of the best course of action for what you're trying to do. And I've learned in life why sometimes people kind of fight strategy or a plan or let me say this way, structure. Because we're living in a generation that don't like structure. But structure is good because structure is meant to guide you into prophetic revelation. It's not just being wild in church and doing all. No, there is structure. There is the move of God. God moves in certain ways. And so why sometimes people fight with structure or strategy? Well, here's what the Lord showed me. A good strategy will sometimes cause you to agree to something that you really don't want to do. I'm coming down here because you look tired today and I'm just getting started. A good strategy, I mean a good strategy that's good for you, you might not even agree with. And so people will disagree with something that's meant to make them better. Because it's a strategy that involves a team, I can't get involved in that. Well, you can't get involved because it's challenging you with a strategy that's now going to make you do something different that you've never done before. Sometimes people don't get in church, involved in church, because it's a strategy they don't want to commit and submit to others. But the strategy says we come together and you must lose, even if you don't like it, even if you're not in agreement with it. It is God ordained and it's the best course of action. How do I know that's true? I didn't want to go to school growing up. I wanted to stay up late and go out and do whatever I wanted with my friends. But my dad had a different strategy. Tell your neighbor, aren't you glad for strategy? And the strategy was, if you don't go to school, you're getting out of here. If you don't go to school, I'm not supporting your butt. And so the strategy was, you don't like it, you don't want to go to school, but you better get good grades because the future is going to tell that my strategy was right over your life. Well, I don't want to get up and work hard and go to practice at 5 a.m. at 6 a.m. It's strategy. See, you got to learn how to do the hard stuff if you want to be a champion. Strategy will force your body to do things that it don't want to do. That's why we got a strategy in our praise and worship, because it forces your body to align with the Spirit of God. When you don't want to praise God, we'll shift the music. When you don't want to give God praise like he deserves, we'll shift the atmosphere. You can't sit there when God is moving and not doing nothing because something is a strategy. I don't really want to get with that today. I'm tired. I just want to sit here and mind my own business in church and just hear the word and go on home. But no, God has a different strategy for his church. He's saying, you're not going to come 2018 and just sit in my presence and look like I'm not good. You're not going to come and sit in church and take up a chair and not do nothing. You're not going to just come into my gates with no thanksgiving and no praise and act like I'm supposed to give you everything. You're not going to enter into my place with every pain, moan, groan, and sickness and walk out like you're not here. You're going to move this year because there's a strategy. There's a different strategy going on in God's house. You can't just be in the church. You got to learn how to be the church. You can't just be a part. You got to be the part. You got to step up and become who God's called you to be. It's strategy designed to take you out of your comfort zones. Good strategy says, you know what, this is a sacrifice, but because the team's going to win, I'm a part of it. Let me just share with you strategy. Can I share with you about the calls first? I'm going to just skim through a couple more scriptures here. In verse 11, it says, and Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. In other words, David, you're going to die, honey. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, that's what she did, and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. She put a dummy under there. She was telling Dad, you a dummy. I'm going to put a dummy on here because I believe in the cause. I want to share with you another. Go with me real quick. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter number 20 here. I'm just kind of skimming through this because I got somewhere to be in this. Verse number 1 said, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid that thou shalt die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, there is but one step between me and death. Look at what David's saying. One step. Either I get a strategy or I die. I'm going to say it again. Either I get a plan or I die. Either I get some structure about my life or I die. Either I get myself together or I die. Come on, 2018, you can't play the games you played in 17. It's not going to work. I'll leave that one alone. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon. The new moon, huh? And I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I might hide myself in the field unto the third day at evening. And then he goes on to say, my father missed me. Tell him I had to go back to Bethlehem, take care of some business. I had to go see my family. I had to make the yearly sacrifice with the family. And so if that pleases you, let's do it. We're going to go with that plan. Then go over to verse number 18. It says this here. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then shalt go down quickly and come to this place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was at hand, and shalt remain there at the stone of Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows. And what he said is, I'm going to shoot 3 arrows. If they go before you, before my servant, it's okay to come back. If they go beyond my servant, you got to go. You can't come back to Saul's house. Now, what I see here, and I'm just going down through this here, as I told you, never proceed without a cause. In 1 Samuel 19:1-5, Jonathan had a cause. Jonathan's cause in the 19th chapter was his love for David. Right? He's seen that David was an asset to his father Saul. And so we have to be careful in this time, because sometimes we can destroy the greatest asset by assuming they're out to get us, and they're not. Sometimes we destroy the thing that God sent to bless us. And Jonathan is saying, my cause is to show my dad that David is not after you. I am the one that's going to give my throne to David, because I recognize he's greater than me. And so the cause is to preserve David's life, because I love him. How many of you got a cause like that? How many of you have a reason to get up every morning? See, if you don't know that Jesus is your reason, if you got some children, that's your reason too. If you have a husband or a wife, that's your reason too. That's your reason to get up and keep living and not dying. And so here, sometimes you can destroy that. But here's another one. In verses 11 through 13, I'm talking about the cause. Remember, before there's a strategy, say with me, there's a cause. Say that again, there's a cause. In verse number 11 through 13, Michael had a cause. What was her cause? The cause her to lie to her dad and to cover up and put a dummy in the bed to make it look like it was her husband David. Her cause was, this is the love of my life. This is my husband. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to cover him, because I don't want him to die because you don't like him. And so my cause is righteousness. I'm going to protect him. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, here's another cause. Jonathan's cause again. As he now says, I will go in the same field where you hiding at, and I will talk with my father about you. What's the cause? The cause was his genuine love for David. When you stand for something, that's a cause. In this day and age, we got to stand for something. I know what time of the month it is. You had school out on Monday. It was Martin Luther King's birthday. How many of you stood for something on Monday or just laid in the bed all day? Took a day off work or a day out of school. But forget that that man stood for a cause. He stood for equality. He stood for justice. He stood for righteousness, not just for black folk, but for all folk. See, that's different in this day and age. People are selfish. They only want it for themselves. But Martin Luther King Jr. said, I want it for everyone. If they can sit there, then all of us can sit there together. I just don't want the black folk to get up front and the white folk got to move in the back. No, I want us all to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. See, that's the spirit of God. He had a vision that was prophetic vision that people weren't ready for its time. And now look what's happened. We've gone the other way and everybody wants things for themselves. Tell your neighbor, And so there was a cause that caused Jonathan now to go before his dad, who hated David and who had previously tried to slay him several times with a javelin because he was mightier than he was. And now here comes Jonathan and said, I'm willing to risk who I am to go before my dad because I believe in you. That's a cause. How many are willing to risk your reputation? How many are willing to risk what people think about you just to stand up for someone else that's a little guy? Let me remind you that Barnabas stood up for the Apostle Paul. When none of the apostles wanted to receive him into the New Testament church in Jerusalem, it was Barnabas that risked who he was as a man of God and said, I believe in this Saul of Tarsus, that God has really changed his life. And he brought him before the council of all the apostles, and it was there that the shift began to happen. And so as I move on with this cause here, is that when you have a cause, you will fight the right way. How many know that our fight is faith, the fight of faith? And so I wanted to get to this point today as I prepare my landing. And it's going to be a good landing. If there was a cause, what were the strategies? I just read you four different causes. And for each of those causes, there was a strategy. And I want to show you the strategy, a number one strategy for the body of Christ in 2018. Are you ready for this? In 1 Samuel 19, verses 1 through 5, Jonathan presented David a strategy. And the strategy was flee and hide while I speak with my dad concerning your life. That was the strategy. He don't like you. He want to kill you. Go run. Go hide. In verse number 11 through 13, when Saul had sent his men to kill David, he knew he's going to kill. The only reason why that he was teamed up with his daughter was that he could make David weak, get his focus changed, and he would die on the battlefield against the Philistines. Originally, he was supposed to marry his other daughter, but that didn't happen. And so the thing pleased Saul now for him to marry Michal. And perhaps now Michal will get him discouraged or distracted. And when he goes out on the field, he's thinking about his wife and he'll die. How many of you know that didn't happen? He didn't even let his wife confuse the mission. And so in verses 11 through 13, Michal's strategy was when now Saul's men are coming to have David's life, she tells David, run. Flee, hide, and I'll make up a dummy with goat's hair, put under the pillow in bed, and make it look like it's you. How many know that when Saul came in, he said, why did you deceive me? Why? What did she say? Well, if I didn't, he was going to kill me too. And so in chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, there was a cause, but what was the strategy? Now here is Jonathan that day, talking in the field where David's hiding. And now he says, David comes up with the idea, well, the new moon begins tomorrow, and perhaps in my vacant seat, he'll ask where I'm at. Tell him I'm going back to Bethlehem for a yearly sacrifice. I got to take care of some men. In other words, David said, I'm going to go run and hide. Verses number 18 through 23. We see the story of Jonathan and his servant. He tells him to go out. The servant has no idea of what's going on, but he just shoots three arrows, and him and David had the strategy that if I shoot three arrows and it lands in front of my servant, then that means that everything is okay. You can come back home and Saul's going to love you. It's going to be all good. But if I shoot him past my servant, that means you better get the heck out of Dodge. And so what he says is, go and flee over there and wait until I shoot the arrows. It's going to look like I'm just practicing with my weaponry, but I'm really speaking something prophetic. And they go over the servant's head. And right there, David had fled and he went away. And now it indicated now the Lord, watch this here. He said, the Lord has said it's time to go. Why did I say all that? Come to let you know today that all these strategies had something in common. All these strategies are speaking something for the body of Christ today. That your first beginning of your strategy is to do what David did. Go hide yourself. You saying, huh? Well, that's deep, huh? I thought a strategy is supposed to be a 5-page double space, you know, points here. I got these points. I got that. I got subtopics. I got all these things. And what if this don't happen? I got to have something to apply to that. If this doesn't, no, I don't need all of these papers and all these different things. It's a real strategy. Go and hide. It sounds deep, doesn't it? Then that sound really deep. But I don't know about you. It's simple, but it's effective. And so here's what the Lord began to show me here is that many times you're going to know the intents of a person's heart towards you, how they conversate when you're out around. You're going to find out if they love you by what they say about you when you're not in their presence. When you go and hide, and see, I want to share something with you today because this is what the Lord showed me here, that he could not kill Saul. Are you with me today? He knew he could take Saul out. God has given me authority over you. I've been anointed for this. But if I kill you, I kill the office. If I kill you, I kill my strategy. If I kill you, I kill my future influence. If I demean my husband, that means you're going to look worse than your husband do. If you do your kids that way, it's not the kids that really look bad, it's you that look bad. Are you still with me today? And so sometimes we look at a strategy and say, David, why did you have to hide? David said, I had to go hide because if I kill him, then that means that I don't respect the throne. If I take him out, that means I don't respect the authority that God has given him. So if I expect someone to listen to me, I got to come under the authority of somebody else. If I expect someone to follow me, I got to be willing to follow someone else. Even if I don't like their strategy, I'm going to follow them. Even if I know they want to kill me, I'm going to follow them all the way until God speaks different. And God spoke different. God said, hide. Tell your neighbor, go and hide. See, your strategy might have looked like defeat. They might have talked about you because you ran, because you hid, because they couldn't see you, because they couldn't find you, because you weren't around, because they couldn't get their hands on you. They didn't know that it was. See, I'm going to let you know something. Here's a revelation today. Hiding is good when it's God doing the hiding. You didn't hear me today. See, now I'm trying to show you that your strategy is not in you trying to stand up and prove how bad you are. It's how quick can you go and hide in the presence of God? How quick can you enter into a place of prayer and hide in your secret place? How quick can you go and run to your safe place? Well, no, I got to say, I got to do something. The reason why you're going through is because you always got to do something. But God said run and hide in 2018. Before you try to attack a giant, hide yourself in my presence. Now, I don't know if you're with me today, but I'm going to repeat it again. Hiding is not bad when it's God doing the hiding. I don't know about you, but there are many things that I had to run from and hide from. Well, why ain't you not? Well, no, I'm not running from the person. I'm running to Jesus. I'm not running from the problem. I'm hiding where a place where Satan can't touch me. I'm hiding where a place where the arrows can't find me. I'm hiding in a place where Saul's men cannot come and look for me. I've got people that are going to help me hide in the presence. I've got a Michael that says I'll cover you even when my daddy wants to kill you. I've got Jonathan's that said I will give my life for you even when my father knows that we're just in cahoots like this. I've got people that are willing to hide me. Who do you have in your life that are willing to hide you? This world exposes enough garbage and junk. We need people who know how to hide people, cover people, protect people, be a shelter to people, be ones that people can go under and find rest and get peace instead of all this junk. Oh, he did that, she did that. You don't need to know certain things. So I'm going to leave you like this. And I'm going to give it to you real good. Psalm 17 and verse number 8. Keep me. You might as well write it down because I'm going to read them one by one. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 27 and verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 36 and verse number 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57 verse 1. Be merciful unto me. Oh God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until all these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 61 and verse number 4. I will abide. Come on, tell your neighbor, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust under the covert of thy wings. Psalm 63 and verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. fortress. My God. Someone shout, my God. Shout, my God. In him will I trust. God is saying, hide in my pavilion. Hide in my secret place. Hide under my wings. Hide in my shadow. Hide in my place that I cover you. A place where the devil can't find you. That's your strategy. Colossians 3:3, I am dead and I'm now hid in Jesus. My life is hid in him. What is he saying? What is this Bible saying? It's saying your best strategy is to first get to Jesus. I don't know if you heard me today, but your best strategy is not to go and face your problem by yourself and for yourself. Your best strategy is get under the wings of the Almighty, is get to a place of refuge, get to a place of shelter. And I want to let someone know today that grouchy, gossiping people is not your shelter. Busybodies are not your shelter. Come on, someone. People that talk a lot are not your shelter. Because if they're talking about someone else, they're talking about you too. So your shelter is not about how many people you have. It's about who you have. It's not about how many people I can recruit. It's recruiting the right person. It's not about how good they are. It's about how good my God is. And so when I learn, people that cover me, it's people that know how to pray for me. I found out that when the enemy rises up like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard. And see, God gave me this fresh off the press, fresh out of the oven. He said, the standard is my presence. You didn't get that today. He said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the devil, the enemy, God raises up a standard. And he said, I'm raising up I'm raising up a wing for you to come and hide under. I'm raising up a fortress so that you can, I can be your deliverer. I'm raising up a secret place. You thought the standard was more people in your life. You thought the standard was justice and equity. He said, no, forget about the injustices. Forget about all that. I'm raising a standard to carry you. I'm raising a standard to cover you. See, if you're one thing you'll learn about my God is God is not about a God of exposure. He's a God of concealment. I'll conceal you. I'll hide you until the war is over. I'll hide you so the enemy can't find you. I'll hide you so that Satan can't take you out. I'll hide you so that when the enemy wants to destroy your life, you found a secret plan. How many of you got a secret place where you know where the Most High is and you learn to abide under that shadow of the Almighty, that when I get to my secret place, come on church, help me today. When I get to my secret place, I know that I'm invincible in the secret place. I know I'm unmovable in the secret place. If I only abide in the works of the Lord, I know that my labor is not in vain. So when I get to the secret place, I know that Satan can't touch me. What I've learned the most is that Satan fights you to the secret place. He fights you with noise. He fights you with people. He fights you with distractions, all to get you away from your secret place. Because he knows the best strategy is to hide under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't be touched when you are under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't be broken down when you're under the shadow of the Almighty. I want to let you know some news today. You even can't be sick under the shadow of the Almighty. You can't be sick when you're under the shadow. Sickness might follow you, but I don't know about you. I used to get chased home every day from school, and all I got to do is break the fence. Because once I cross over to the other side, I got something for you. I don't know if you heard me today. Once I cross over to the other side, there's something waiting for you. And they're bigger than me. They're stronger than me. And they already know you and they will take you out. So I might have to run to get to my secret place. I might have to fight to get to my secret place. But once I get there, I'm invincible. I'm unmovable. I'm indestructible. Why? Because I'm in the presence of the Most High God. You wonder why you go through fights. Lord, just let me get. No, let me get there. They fight you all the way to payday. They fight you all the way till you get to your job. They fight you all the way till you drop them off at school. They fight you all the way until dinner's ready. Just let me get to my secret place. When you get to the secret place, things happen. When you get to the secret place, that's a place where Satan is not invited. And see, that's the place where God says is quiet. And that's what I've learned, is that you're one of your best things that you can do against Satan is get quiet. Sometimes people think noise will only destroy him and move him. No, sometimes noise causes them to get even more agitated. That's why the quiet times of life says that I must get to a place where it annoys Satan when I'm not frustrated when things go wrong. I can be still and be quiet. I know the Bible says be still and know that I am God. And it just bugs Satan to death. I said to his death, not our death, but it bugs Satan to death when you could be still. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. Because I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying somebody needs to learn how to be still. Be still. Be still. David said, I'm going to go hide. I'm not running from Saul like I'm afraid of Saul. I'm running from Saul because I don't want to kill him. You hear what I'm saying today? I could take Saul out just like I took out Goliath. And Saul knows it. That's why all the women in Israel kept screaming, Saul killed his thousands, but David his 10,000. So all I got to do is show up, and it immediately brings fear in your heart, Saul. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hide in the presence, because what happens when David hid in the presence? It checked his heart. Yes, there's some things that you want to do, but you need to get to the presence so God can check your heart. There are some issues that's going on in the world right now. How could a federal government shut down the most powerful country in the world, cause a shutdown? Man, the government is playing with us. They're not playing with me, though, because I've got a separate kingdom. Oh, where's the church at? I'm not depending on the government to help me. I'm not depending on the Senate. I'm not depending on the Democrat or the Republican. You can argue about who's president and who's not president. That is old news. What I want to see is God's kingdom begin to rise. Let now the currency of the kingdom be faith now. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I'm not intimidated by what's going on. If you work for the federal government, you shall get paid. I will hide. I won't complain. I will hide. Let me just say this. It's time out to stop talking about the past president and the current president. Stop it. You're destroying the morality of the United States of America. We stand under God, indivisible. How can we be under God and we're talking against man and man? Stop it. Stop posting stuff about past, present, future, and current president. Stop doing that. You're demeaning the character of the United States of America by joining in with that. Why is the government shut? What we need to be doing now is praying, get our act together so the government can get it together. Why don't we do that? Because we're not hidden. We're exposed and we want to be seen. We want to repost posts that shouldn't be posted in the first place. Instead of hiding in your secret place and praying about what's going on, instead of now passing on ammunition, we need to be in the secret place. That strategy, how are we going to get out of this as America? Get to the secret place. Don't you know this is a setup for the church? Like me, love me, leave me. It's a setup for the church. I love you, Mr. Trump, just like I love Mr. Obama. Because you're both men. But you're not my God. I heard the Bible said, my God shall supply all my needs. I said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I told some people the other day, there are riches in glory that got my name on it. There is a package in heaven that it's just not like a little ring box. It's a whole distribution center that says this was set for you. And so regardless of what's going on, I would not leave my secret place. Come on, stand up with me. I got to finish. I'm done. You like, well, what was this deep strategy? Your deep strategy? Hide. You know why you got to hide? Because I'm tired of seeing you. That's what the Lord has said. I'm tired of seeing you. I want to see me in you now. I want to see my glory upon you now. You need to tell yourself that I'm tired of being seen. It's time for God to be seen now. Did you not see the strategy that Jonathan and David and even Michael had? There was a cause. What was the cause? All the cause was really about setting it up for Jesus to come. So at that point, they said, we got a strategy to save your life, David. Read it again for yourself. In every instance I read you, the strategy was hide, run, flee. Why is that important? You got to learn to get away and run the opposite direction of people that are not going in the same direction you are. I'm going to say it again. You got to run the opposite direction of people that are going, not going the same direction you are. Because if they're going your direction, we're heading to heaven together. But Saul was not going in the direction of David. And so I needed a strategy in order to live. And my best strategy, Misha, was to hide. Why have I been in hidden positions? Why sometimes people don't can't find you, can't see you? Because God is covering you. Because God is keeping you. Because God is saying, I have something for you. In the year 2018, God said, chemistry, number one. But after you properly align, learn how to hide. And when you learn how to hide, God is going to raise up a Jonathan to cover you. Do you hear what I said, saints? And if it's not Jonathan, it's a Michael. God is going to raise up a Michael. They're going to cover you. In your hiding, you're covered. Come on, someone. I want to talk to you next week about ability. Because when I come out of hiding, I got some abilities. I got some things in my repertoire that Satan hadn't seen yet. I got some angles and things and some word that God is going to release. And these are called the mysteries of heaven. But right where you are, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We thank you. Lord, because your mercies, we're not consumed because of them. Again, great is your faithfulness. That God, we ran and flee now into your presence. And we've hidden under your shadow, you being the Almighty. God, I need you to hide a people today. In the secret place of your pavilion. Hide them, Lord God, in that place, God, where they're not exposed to the enemy. Lord, a strategy is what you're calling for. And God, we need a strategy in 2018. And God, you said the first thing that you want to do in our strategy is to hide us in a different place. And so, God, we now abide in that place of security under you. Cover us, God, with your wings. Cover your people, Lord God. Even as your word says, when that enemy does come in like a flood, you raise up a standard against it. And I thank you right now that Jesus, you are our standard. We could run to you and we are safe. Yes, your name, Lord, is a strong tower. And so we are running to it right now and we are safe. God, I pray that we will activate this strategy because our cause is Christ and our strategy is to finish strong. And to finish strong, God, we got to be in your presence. And so, God, I pray that your presence is now our portion. In Jesus' name. Is there a sinner or a backslider? If you don't know Jesus, I want to talk to you. Unsaved. If that's you. While heads are bowed and eyes.